KALW.
It's a really fun way to channel your love for a character or for a certain story or even a franchise in your everyday life.
Today, we hear how one San Francisco woman uses fashion to express her love for Disney and bring joy to others.
I think with Disney bounding, what that does is it allows a little bit more fun to come into play. And it lets people, I think, have that extra dash of magic.
We are Disney bound. Then we'll head to Japantown to check out an anime and cosplay festival.
Hey, how many Final Fantasy fans do we have in the audience? You guys recognize who this character is?
And we'll hear a reading from San Francisco author Judith Berlowitz. Colorful characters and outfits from around the bay. That's coming up. I'm Suni Khalid in for Hana Baba, and this is Cross Currents. For us here in the Bay Area, it takes a plane ride or a long drive to experience Disneyland magic. But for Alisa Wong in San Francisco, she wears her Disney joy in her everyday dress. It's called Disney bounding. It's the practice of loosely dressing up as characters without looking too much like you're in a costume. It's developed into a community on social media where people conduct and share their Disney looks. KALW's Janae Darden spoke with Alisa about her love for this thriving subculture.
Now there's a way that people, that adult fans of Disney are dressing and showing their Disney spirit. And it's Disney bounding, which is something you do. So explain, what is Disney bounding?
Yeah, so Disney bounding is when you put together an outfit that mimics a character using everyday clothes that you could find at your local clothing store or your local mall. And it's a really fun way to channel your love for a character or for a certain story or even a franchise in your everyday life. And so, especially for me living here in the Bay Area, I'm obviously not close to the park. So Disney bounding is another way for me to kind of feel that magic in my everyday life, even if I'm not going to a park or headed to like on a Disney vacation.
Okay. So I'm looking at you now. You look beautiful. And so you have on this red shirt with white dots. So I'm definitely getting Minnie Mouse. Yeah. And what kind of earrings you have on?
They're also Minnie Mouse earrings. So accessories is a really great way to kind of bring your whole Disney bound together, especially if, for example, if I'm wearing this like red top with the white polka dots, people might just think, oh, you know, it's just a normal red top with white polka dots. But when you add in the accessories, so for today, I have like some Minnie Mouse earrings, it kind of cues people, oh, she's actually trying to channel Minnie Mouse and she's actually Disney bounding. So that's why I actually really love like earrings, bags, even shoes, mm-hmm. like extra little things that help pull it all together.
And so have people noticed when you wore certain things and it wasn't very blatant that that's what you were trying to do? And they're like, oh, she's reminding me of, you know.
Once in a while, I do get people that kind of take notice, but that's kind of after I tell them that I'm a Disney fan and then they start putting two and two together. But for a lot of times, especially outside of the parks, a lot of people wouldn't notice, which is kind of the fun thing also. Because when you're walking on the street and you notice someone like a certain color scheme of an outfit and you kind of recognize, oh, that kind of looks like maybe it's like a Snow White Disney bound, and you end up asking the person about their outfit and they might even say like, actually, it's a Snow White Disney bound. And then you realize, oh, this is like a wink to different people in the community. Like you kind of walk past each other and you're like, I know what you're doing. I know that you are a fan of, you know, either Disney or whatever franchise.
Give a little whistle. Give a little whistle. And always let your conscience be your guide.
Where did the name come from, Disney bounding?
Yeah.
And actually, how long has it been around? I mean, I think people were probably doing this even before it became a name. But
right.
As far as just the name and everything, how long has it been around?
Right. So to your point, people have been kind of wearing outfits and things like that inspired by characters for a long, long time. But back in 2012, Leslie Kay, she's from Canada, she was headed to her first Disney trip as an adult. So she was getting excited for it and was trying to plan out outfits. So she started out on Tumblr actually and just started putting together these outfits with like Polyvore or something like that. She started putting together outfits that were inspired by Disney characters and she started posting them to Tumblr. And then from there, people obviously like loved it and kept resharing it. So she kept building these outfits. And the way she named Disney Bound was literally because she was Disney bound, like she was bound for the park. So that's kind of how it came together.
So I know cosplaying is where you dress up exactly like the character. Mm-hmm. So this is different. You know, where do you go to shop for your clothes? I mean, I would think you can probably shop just about anywhere because you're not dressing up exactly like the character. You know, you're inspired by the character.
Yeah, that is a great question. Yeah, because first and foremost, I try to go through my closet because a lot of times you actually find pieces that you can use for a Disney Bound just sitting in your closet. You don't even realize. But I also just like, even for what I'm wearing today, it's a Reformation dress. I've also gone in the past to like secondhand stores because I know sometimes with Disney Bounding, if you like need a whole new outfit for a new Disney Bound, it's a lot easier sometimes to just go to a secondhand store and find things that are pre-loved. And even just like my local mall, like sometimes if I have to go to Stonestown to try to find like a certain yellow top, I'll just search through some of the stores there. Another place is Poshmark or Depop as well, because it's so easy to filter through Poshmark mm-hmm. and Depop with like certain colors, or if you want a certain kind of top, or if you want a certain kind of dress or certain pair of shoes, it's really easy to use the filters on that. So it helps narrow down that search, because sometimes it can be a little overwhelming to like search through the whole mall just looking for a specific pair of pants or something like that.
What is a Disney Bound challenge? What is that?
Oh, so Disney Bound challenges, a lot of people do them, like they create their own Disney Bound challenge where they'll say, okay, for these specific days, we're gonna, like, if you want to do a Disney Bound for what's a recent movie, like for Star Wars, we'll make this a Star Wars day. So everyone can post all of their Star Wars Disney Bounds on this day. And then the next day could be about Pinocchio. So we're all going to dress in Pinocchio characters and Disney Bound those characters for this day. So it's basically just a way to engage the community to kind of do group bounds virtually, especially because there's Disney Bounders across, not only across the country, but across the world. So it's a great way to connect people virtually. We're all going to do this specific character, story, movie on this specific day.
So if, let's say I went to Disney Bound Maleficent.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at Maleficent. I'm thinking of her. Mm-hmm. Where would I start? Like, where would you recommend I start?
Yeah, I would think about obviously color. So she wears like a lot of black. Well, the live action is pretty much all black, but the animated has a little bit. She's got hints of purple and hints of lime green. So I would start there. Think about the color scheme. And then from there, you can think about the shape of their clothes. So I like to think about Maleficent as having kind of like the longer dress. So you want to make sure that if you're going with the Maleficent Disney Bound, trying to do like a monochromatic all black look, whether it's like a long maxi dress or even like long pants, just think of that streamlined kind of shape. And then once you kind of have an idea of what shape you want to go for and you find like that perfect piece that you want, I would then start thinking about, okay, well, what kind of accessories do I want? What will help tie it all in together? And she has Diaval, which is her crow. So is there any accessories that have like a crow that or like a skull on it? Something that kind of talks to her storyline. And then the last piece of it, which I think also helps, is the makeup. You know, she, in the live action movie, she has like the, you know, those gorgeous red lips. So I want to wear maybe like a really deep red lip. And if I want to add like a little bit of extra color, like how she has the purple and green accents, maybe I'll do the red lip, but with also the lime green eyeshadow, just to help tie in those colors a little bit more. So I think that would be like the last piece of it. And then I would feel ready to go.
What does this art, this style, what does this say about you?
I think it says about me that I really love having fun with style and getting dressed in the morning, because I think with, especially with like high fashion, sometimes it just feels like something that's so unattainable and stuffy. But I think with Disney Bounding, what that does is it allows a little bit more fun to come into play. And again, it lets people, I think, have that extra dash of magic in their day as well. It's not just like, okay, get up and go put on a sweater, get to work. it encourages you to actually think about like, oh, what kind of like fun thing can I put on for work today? Or can I put on for my errand to just have that little extra pep in my step?
That was Disney bounder Alisa Wong speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. This interview was produced with the help from Porfirio Rangel. See Alisa's Disney-inspired outfits on Instagram. We'll have a link at KALW.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Suni Khalid in for Hana Baba. In our last story, we heard about fictional characters inspiring an everyday look. But what if you're trying to bring one of those characters to life? Cosplaying has become one of the most important parts of comic, anime, and video game culture. For the fans who love to cosplay, these conventions are a way to make friends, show off sewing skills, and become the characters they love. Back in 2017, KALW student reporter Ellie Herbert took us into her world as a cosplayer as she got ready to attend the San Francisco Anime and Cosplay Festival.
I'm at Joanne's Fabrics in Colma looking for fabric and materials with my friend Casey.
Do you have yellow for the...
We're searching for the right materials to use to make our costumes. I'm a cosplayer. That means I dress up on more days than just Halloween. Typically, we choose a character from a video game or show we like. I really enjoy becoming someone that isn't myself, usually a character from a series that I have an emotional connection to. Back at home, Casey and I just finished cutting out the pieces of fabric, and now we're working on sewing those pieces together. We're smoothing out the fabric and making sure we don't accidentally sew folds or wrinkles into the shirt. Most people mistakenly think cosplay as being something that started up in Japan. It's a combination of the words costume and play. Cosplaying started here in America and then slowly spread. The first cosplay was back in 1939 at a sci-fi convention in New York. It was a couple who dressed up as characters from the sci-fi film Things to Come that was written by H.G. Wells.
We live in interesting, exciting, and anxious times.
People have enjoyed dressing up as their favorite characters for a long time. I spoke with Kiba Shiroba, who has been cosplaying since 2011. Cosplay has benefited them in multiple ways, teaching them new skills and also boosting their self-esteem.
Body image has been something I got out of it. Like, I used to hate the way that I looked, but through cosplay, I learned to love certain parts of me. Like, for example, I didn't like the way my eyelids worked because it made doing makeup really difficult, but it forced me to, like, learn how to do my own makeup and like master my own face basically. And like I'm more willing to like bear more skin when I'm dressed in cosplay than versus when I'm not. Like I've cosplayed Black Rock Shooter and that's basically wearing nothing. So.
Kiba will be cosplaying as Mila Babichevwa from the anime Yuri on Ice. But cosplaying doesn't just allow people to get comfortable with their looks.
I cosplay purely just because I like the act of making things and being able to wear it and say that I made it and being able to like show off my craftsmanship to other people and just getting to know other people who are also really good at making things.
A lot of the time, cosplayers gain exposure through the help of photography. Without these photographers, cosplay wouldn't have spread. Carl Valencia is one of the amateur photographers in the cosplay community.
When it comes to cosplay photography, it was mostly a friends thing. It was a great way to meet a lot of people. Photography itself is kind of a neat art form.
There are many photographers, each one having a different type of style. Some specialize in storytelling, while others are better at portraits. Many of the pictures take place around the time of anime events or conventions. There are conventions like Fanime, Sac Anime, KrakenCon, HydraCon, and Anime Destiny. These events are bigger and last for multiple days compared to the smaller ones such as the San Francisco Anime and Cosplay Festival. That's the event Kiba, Casey, and I are preparing for. This cosplay festival takes place in San Francisco's Japantown every year. Yoko Hiji is the executive producer of the event, and she's also a cosplayer, but she's been too busy to make the costumes herself.
I used to make my own costume, but now I buy them.
This event was started when Japantown was looking for a new way to bring younger people into the neighborhood. But cosplaying here in America is different than cosplaying in Japan. Hiji says that the cosplayers here are more open about it.
I think America or United States is very accepting of cosplays and costumes. I think it's probably because of Halloween. Many cosplayers actually cosplay from home to the venue. So you get to see cosplayers at the intersection, cosplayers driving, cosplayers at the stores and restaurants and stuff. But in Japan, cosplay, the hobby of cosplay is something that's should be kind of like secretive. So the conventions and events usually have dressing rooms and then dressing areas available.
Even though she puts on the event, she doesn't have as much cosplay experience as the cosplay senpais. Cosplay senpais are cosplayers that have many years of experience.
I don't have as long history as a lot of the cosplay senpais because most of the cosplay senpais we have more than 10 years of experience. I don't think I hit 10 years.
It's the day of the event, and I'm excited to finally see my cosplay friends I haven't seen in months. As usual, it's crowded, and cosplayers are all over Japantown. I'll be meeting the two cosplay guests of honor, Reika and Sharu. I'm super nervous to see them face to face. I've been looking up to them since I started cosplaying, always striving to reach the skill level that they're at.
Konnichiwa, Nihon no cosplayer no Reika desu. Osaka kara konkai kosashite itadakimashita. San Francisco no kono konvenshon wa 3 kaime desu.
Hai, Nihon kara kimashita cosplayer no Chelu desu. Watashi wa San Francisco no ibento ni kuru no wa hajimete desu. Yoroshiku onegai shimasu.
They both introduced themselves, and Yoko Hiji is translating for me. Reika is a cosplayer from Osaka. It'll be her third time coming to this event. This will be Sharu's first time coming here.
What do you really enjoy about cosplay?
Cosplay で一番楽しいことは何ですか?
私は、同じ作品が好きな友達とこう集まって。
They both enjoy cosplay for their own reasons. For Reika, she enjoys shopping for fabric the most. While Sharu enjoys being able to get together with friends that have the same interests and being able to do photo shoots with them. After I say my goodbyes and thanks to Reika and Sharu, I start walking around the festival. I see so many cosplayers, all with their own style. Some people have casual outfits on, while others have full-blown cosplays. There's a stage show going on that features cosplayers.
Hey, how many Final Fantasy fans do we have in the audience? You guys recognize who this character is?
Everyone looks really good. All the cosplayers' costumes look very clean and appealing to the eye. There's a character from the anime Steins Gate. He's wearing a pink maid dress and has a pink twin tail wig. The festival comes to an end, and people slowly make their way out of Japantown, leaving the once crowded plaza left with only a few people. But at the end of the day, cosplayers take off their wigs, their makeup, and their costumes, and then it's back to the workshop to begin working on their next cosplay. For KLW, I'm Aloisa Herbert.
That story originally aired in 2017 as part of our high school summer training program. Stay tuned for a new batch of stories from this year's class later this fall. And if you want to check out the cosplayers in action, you can catch them this weekend at the San Jose Crunchyroll Expo. This is Cross Currents. I'm Suni Khalid, in for Hana Baba. Now we'll hear a reading that takes us back to 1920s Spain. It's another episode from KALW's literary podcast, New Arrivals.
This is New Arrivals, a pocket-sized book tour with Bay Area authors. I'm Lisa Morehouse. Judith Berlewitz lives in San Francisco. Her book, Home So Far Away, came out on June 21st, 2022.
It's a fictional diary of Clara Philipsborn, a distant relative from Germany who volunteered in the Spanish Civil War. Here's a key passage from April 1925 and Clara's first visit to Spain. She has just found the Communist Party office in Seville. I stepped inside and found two middle-aged men seated at a chessboard, cigarettes in hand. I did not wish to interrupt their game, but one of the men, brown hair combed straight back, looked up and said, "Buenos días." I nodded and replied as well as I could, saying that I was from Berlin and from the party of Rosa Luxemburg. "Ah, Rosa Luxemburgo," he responded. "Bienvenida, camarada." "Welcome, comrade." They both stood and shook my hand. Hearing the sound of Rosa's name pronounced in Spanish within the sheltering walls of Seville was indeed welcoming. Her name transformed in that moment, a magic formula, a key that had just opened a door for me. Rosa, 6 years dead now, returned to life in the warmth of the hands of these two strangers. Her name eliminated the need to explain the reason for my visit, the need to explain myself in a language I have not mastered.
That was Judith Berlewitz reading from Home So Far Away.
New Arrivals is produced by Lisa Morehouse. You can hear more readings at kalw.org. Cross Currents is off tomorrow for the SFUSD board meeting, but tune in Wednesday at 5. We hear how Emeryville is building two housing projects that are affordable for two of the most marginalized social groups.
And the social science shows, that when you co-locate those cohorts of people, you get really amazing outcomes.
Housing for senior citizens and foster youth. That's Wednesday at 5. Now, before we go, let's listen to some new music from a local artist.
Tiptoeing around, time is running out. The days with her are slim. Don't know her now, didn't know her back then. I do not blame the past when it still seeps in.
This is Oakland band Field Dress with their song, Sister Beef. You can catch them playing in Amado's SF a week from today on August 10th.
Can't touch the hand, she just shudders away. Get your hippie self away from this place. Can't wear my skin or I feel the hate. I'm finding out.
Today's team includes Hanisha Harjani, Sydney Fishman, Aaron Kopp, James Rowlands, Gabe Graben, Victor Tentz, Shireen Adel, Shia Levitt, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is from the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Suni Khalid.
Sister